Welcome to the Kevin Hilly Podcast, just a sample of what he does each morning on 101.9 The Wave. Now, here's Kevin.
Nathan Bechtol joins me this morning from Lake Expo. Hi, Nathan. How are you today?
Doing good. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thanks for being here. I came across this piece in Lake Expo the other day, and I guess this was originally published in, is it the Shore publication?
It's Shore Magazine. It's Shore. a brand new boating magazine at Lake of the Ozarks.
Okay. Yeah. And it's a great piece about graves at the Lake of the Ozarks. And I mean graves in the Lake of the Ozarks. There really are graves under the water, right?
From what we can tell, yeah, there are probably graves under Lake of the Ozarks. And so the way we were able to, the way we got turned on to this story is actually through a guy named Mike Gillespie. And he wrote an article for LakeExpo.com, which I'm the editor at Lake Expo. It's
right.
Kind of my main gig. And so he wrote an article that we published at Lake Expo like years ago. Mike Gillespie, folks that know that he was the lake's just encyclopedia of knowledge.
History and all that.
Yeah, Lake of the Ozarks history. That was his thing. And so he knew so much about it, and he wrote this piece. And then as we started looking for interesting topics to publish about in our first Shore magazine, we kind of looked back at this and said, man, what if we could do a little more with this?
Well, and I must admit, in the years I've lived at the lake, I never thought about the possibility of what is under the water. And when we say graves, by the way, we're not just talking about graveyards. We're talking actual graves with occupants, if you will.
Right. Yeah. And yeah, I think you're right. I think, you know, sometimes maybe we don't want to think about what might be, you know,
right,
80
yeah.
feet
it is,
under there.
It is
you know?
Kind of morbid. But
it can be. But there's a lot of history under the lake. I mean, folks who read about the lake realize that there were entire towns, you know, Lynn Creek, right? These entire towns were moved to a different location because they were about to be flooded, right? And so that was the whole process. In fact, it's really phenomenal that the Lake of the Ozarks even exists because you can't imagine anybody ever doing that today.
No, no, it's
because
true.
Of the amount of land that had to be obtained, you know, and towns that had to be moved to a different location.
Oh, lawsuits alone would make your head spin.
Oh, yeah. It would just be a nightmare. So the fact that this was even done, of course, you know, there's lots of interesting stories about how it was pulled off, you know, but there's a lot of history there. And so, yeah, that was one piece that we went back and said, man, that's just a cool story. So we took Mike's story that he wrote and just decided I would do a little additional research. So
right.
Mike unfortunately passed away within a couple of years after we published that story about him. So he's been gone for a while, so couldn't talk with Mike anymore, but talked with other local historians and in fact people who have memories of relatives like of a father or a grandfather who did work.
Right. Well that's where I want to go with this because the first thing I thought of, okay, wait a minute. So you're flooding this area. You know, Lynn Creek and whatever other maybe small towns might have been around it or near it, flooding it over. You know this is going to happen. Do you knock on a door and say, hey, do you have anybody buried here? You know, we know there's a graveyard here. Okay, let's dig, I guess, and do we get the coffin out of there? How did the whole process work with this?
Yeah, so, I mean, man, it was a massive research project, I think, on the part of Union Electric, basically, right? But, you know, Ameren owns,
which is now Ameren,
right. So it was a massive research that they had to do because they were required to move these graves. You know, graves, I mean, culturally and for us are really kind of a sacred thing. Even now, you know, you'll see a place where it's like, well, it's sort of strange that there's a handful of tombstones there. It's like, well, yeah, because
historic,
it's a historic thing. And
right.
And you have to get the permission of the kind of a next of kin thing, typically,
right.
Of everybody who's buried there in order to move that. And so there's always been this reverence around graves and around the dead. And so what Ameren...
Well, not even to mention, you know, like native burial grounds and all that.
Oh,
that plays into it too, which I don't know if there was anything like that there.
And I don't... If there were documentation, then maybe they would have gone after that. But Ameren had to go... of course, they had permission to create the dam, right?
Right.
I mean, so they had this. They bought land and all this kind of stuff.
And we're going to flood it, pal.
Yeah,
just
we're going to
so
flood
know.
It. Yeah, yeah. So we're kind of going to have to move.
Put it on your Google calendar.
Grow some gills or something, you know.
Right.
One of the other. So, but they researched archives and historical records and stuff to sort of figure out where are all these graves that we know we're going to have to move. And so what the best we could discover is that they kind of came up with over 2,000 burial sites for people that, again, lived in this massive area that's now under the Lake of the Ozarks,
mm-hmm.
just through family records and all this kind of stuff about where there were probably over 2,000 burial sites.
But, now these are when you say burial site, you're talking sort of official, like with a tombstone and whatnot, like something that's clearly marked?
Well, no. So what they found was records on some level of over 2,000 people that had died and been buried in a spot. But, and this is where it gets interesting, is
yeah.
right? Because, you know, and you have, I mean, back then, you didn't have these nice, I mean, you had cemeteries and graveyards,
yeah.
but sometimes it was just a little family plot. And sometimes all the family could afford was not a big, nice, beautiful hunk of granite, but a wooden cross or something.
I hate to say it, but it's kind of similar to maybe how we bury pets now.
Right.
You take Fido out to the backyard, yeah. you know, maybe say thought about him or whatever, and then... And that's it. Put a stone there
ashes
so you remember.
And dust to dust. And yeah, maybe you put a wooden something there, but then who knows? Maybe you move or whatever. And,
right.
and so what Ameren did, or Union Electric did, is they did find over 1,000 marked graves. In every one of those, they did their level best to move that grave. But they had records of there being over 2,000 grave sites,
man.
And they only found... Something, I'm not remembering the exact numbers offhand, but the conclusion we came to is that from what we can tell, there's got to be 1,000 grave sites that were, again, unmarked or had been marked but weren't by the time, you know, the Union Electric guys got there, that were flooded when Lake of the Ozarks was made.
And the area itself that was flooded had been settled for at least a century already, right, before...
Long
before
time,
the
yeah.
flooding happened.
Long time. And yeah, I mean, pioneers coming out here and people doing, you know, logging,
yeah.
all sorts of things. This was never a hyper-developed area. And it's always been...
good
you
spot
know,
to put a lake, I guess.
Yeah, good spot to build a lake, exactly. But yeah, there were definitely people out here for a long time before the Lake of the Ozarks was built. So yeah, family land and family plots. And it was a tough time. I mean, there was... You know, a story that I don't remember if I put this in the article or not, but a story about there was a family who
mm-hmm.
had a kind of one of those black sheep members of the family. You
right.
know,
yeah.
some of us have maybe one.
Oh, we all. Some of us have more than one. Yes.
More than
yes.
one, yeah. So there was the black sheep member of their family, and he had done something that basically prohibited him from being buried in. The
shame to the family
yeah.
name,
so he
and so
be in the town cemetery or the church cemetery. I think it was next to the church, and
right,
so
right.
he wasn't allowed to be buried there. And so they buried him up on a hilltop, a little ways away, and did their own kind of thing. And so what I was told in this instance is that when the Union Electric guys, the grave diggers, basically came to say, "Well, you know, we need to move this," that there were some family members standing there with shotguns in their hands, saying. No, you're not gonna. So there's just some interesting, and you know, maybe I got one or two details
no,
wrong there, but that was essentially a story that I was told as I did some research here, and of these instances where there were places where they said, you're not moving them. It's not happening.
Wow.
And you know, think about it. If you're some, you know, low paid Union Electric worker who's digging graves, you say, okay, let's
they're
go.
They're
to
not
the next
paying me
one,
enough
right?
for this. Yeah,
yeah no,
that's
no,
for
I'm
sure.
Not getting in a
Although
fight
the guy was buried on higher ground, so who knows? Maybe.
Who knows? Yeah, anything's possible.
And we're visiting with Nathan Bechtold from Lake Expo, and it's a great story that, and you can find it now in Lake Expo.
We have it at lakeexpo.com. Yeah,
okay.
we're strictly online, and then it was originally published in Shore Magazine, and Shore actually has a website too. That's Shore Boating Mag. .com. So
right.
you can read the full version actually is at shoreboatingmag.com. We have kind of an excerpt at Lake Expo that links out there.
And I have a link also on the description here, so you can just click on that and you'll be able to find it that way as well. But, you know, as we're talking about bodies, graves being there, are there any buildings still surviving under the water? Is it, I mean, even something small, some sort of structure or?
That's a good question. I don't know if I have an answer to that question,
I
honestly.
Wonder.
I wonder the same thing. I'm sure there are some historians that could answer that one.
I
think a lot of things were sort of demolished and leveled and things like that. But in areas where the lake was going to be particularly deep, I don't know.
I
hate to speculate, but then that's what kind of makes it fun, right?
The thought might be, okay, as the flood waters wash over it, it's just going to wipe out anything that's there anyway. So why bother knocking it down? I don't know.
The bottom again. Yeah. So who knows? I mean, I think that's a good question. I know that the Camden County Museum was super helpful. I chatted with some folks over there about this as I sort of did some additional research. Like I said, I took Mike Gillespie's original article and said, you know what, there's some more questions I want to answer about this. So I talked to some folks at the Camden County Museum, and they are just a compendium of knowledge. I would suggest anybody interested in more about this, go check them out. They love having visitors there and stuff anyways. So talked with them, and like I said, talked to some other people who had family members that had been part of the grave digging team, basically.
I know the folks at Wilmore Lodge, there's a great visit over there if you want to take a look at the history of the dam and how it all came to be and the lake. And there's a great self-tour that you can take at Wilmore Lodge as well. So.
That's a great historical site. There's tons of history behind Wilmore Lodge and just the folks that were here even, you know, before the dam was being built and how that was transferred and all that. So that's some neat history, too. But there's another... just kind of a fun story, and we put this one in the article, but one of my favorite stories that came out of my research that I had to put in the article was a lady, and again, I don't have it in front of me, I believe it was her husband's, this was an older lady that I was speaking to on the phone, and I think it was her husband's dad or her husband's grandfather, I think it was her husband's dad, had been on this grave digging team, and they were quarantined for the 2 years essentially that they were digging these graves because there was a concern, and it's a valid concern, that there were diseases. Somebody may have died of cholera or whatever is in the ground.
Once you start digging them,
you unearth potentially some of that stuff can live a really long time.
And this is in the time before antibiotics or so, you know.
You're out here. You're out here in mid-Missouri wild country. You get. So they were quarantined for 2 years as these guys are digging the graves by night because they didn't want to traumatize family members. I mean, family members knew it was going to happen.
Right, right.
Something about just seeing it happening. So they dug them by night. Talk about creepy, you know?
No, it's true. It's true. But it's what you say is so accurate, Nathan, that nowadays there is no way somebody would try this project now.
You could never pull it off,
like the Wild Wild West.
In that regard, it's so admirable that it was. And again, I say that in a guarded way because there are folks who genuinely didn't like what was happening.
Yeah.
And there is that aspect.
And their generations are still.
Yeah. And they're there. And so you have to acknowledge and honor that in a sense. But it is still amazing that the lake could even be built. And we see Bagnell Dam and then we see Lake of the Ozarks and how it's developed into what it is. And that was done by a private corporation is just almost unthinkable now. But the woman who was telling me about her husband's father said they were quarantined for a couple of years, and that he had her husband was a family of 10 kids. That's how everybody was like back then. And so they had a child, every other year, basically they had a kid, but then there was one long gap of about 3 years.
Right.
And that was when dad was out digging graves for Union Electric and couldn't come home and, grow the family anymore.
That's
so there was a 3-year gap between one sibling and the next sibling because that was when dad was quarantined while he dug graves up from them.
It's fascinating stuff. It really is. And so remember, perhaps as you are boating across the main channel, directly below you might be old great grandpa Jones.
That's very possible.
Staring back up at you. You never know. So Nathan Bechtel from Lake Expo, thank you so much for coming in. Really fascinating stuff.
Thanks for having me.
As you learn more, get in touch with me. We'll follow up, okay?
We'll do.
You'll find the Kevin Hilly Podcast on iTunes, Google Play, Audio Boom, Stitcher, and TuneIn. Subscribe, share, comment, and like. You can email Kevin, too, at kevinhilly@gmail.com. And, of course, he's on the air each day from 6 to 10 a.m. Central Time on 101.9 The Wave. Thanks for listening to the Kevin Hilly Podcast.